It's Wednesday, November 30th, 2016, and welcome to episode 195 of Tech Talk for Teachers. I'm Tom Grissom.
And I'm Cindy Rich.
Welcome to Tech Talk for Teachers, a show about teaching and learning with technology. And today we're going to have a little bit of a discussion about professional development, or what we're calling professional learning, and kind of the culture of learning within your organization.
And inside and out of the organizations, I mean, our personal lifelong learning as well as what we do professionally.
So we'll have a discussion about that, and then of course we'll follow up with our technology picks of the week. So here we go. And we're back for another episode of Tech Talk for Teachers, and this time we're nearing the end of the semester, and I thought we'd just have a discussion a little bit about lifelong learning or perpetual professional learning, whatever your term of choice is. Cindy and I were just having a little bit of a discussion about professional development, training and development, and how sometimes it's kind of that culture of learning. Sometimes those terms, in my viewpoint, don't always fit.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever I think about professional development, and you do this all the time with your grants and, you know, in the classroom and thing, whenever I talk to fellow colleagues about professional development, and one reason I don't necessarily like that term is it seems like something that you do to teachers.
Right.
We're having a professional development event. So I kind of prefer, you know, professional learning. And that's kind of, you know, my motto. We always sign off Tech Talk for Teachers with keep on learning. So it's this constant lifelong learning. So just kind of your thoughts on that, Cindy.
Well, I think it's important more to be a collaborative effort because, of, you know, anytime there's PD where somebody just comes in, does something, and then leaves.
Yeah, that and one then, and done.
Yeah, it's like, man, I'm just not a fan of that at all. And so it's like, I think the ongoing collaborative work is so much more meaningful to me. And just, you know, you feel like you're going through the process of learning. And it's not just sitting there. I don't like lectures. I don't like sitting at lectures and that. So I need to be, my ADD, I need to be doing something and that. And so I just prefer a more experiential.
Yeah. Well, and I think the research shows that, you know, whether you're an adult or whether you're a student in the K-12 classroom, everybody wants to be involved. We want to be engaged. And one of the best ways research shows is, you know, involve that learner, engage that learner and ask questions. And give that little feedback loop or feedback cycle, but you have to have that opportunity to do that.
Well, that and then, too, knowing why you're learning it. I mean, the worst, oh my goodness, the worst professional development or workshops to do are the ones where it's mandatory and everybody has to come.
Yeah, like the old compliance or whatever.
Yes, and it's like, son of a gun, because those are hard because you have a lot of people who don't know. They either don't want to be there or don't know why they need to be there. Right. And so it's good. Yeah, you know, it's like, are you learning? And this goes with that whole culture of learning in that. Is it because you want to or because you need to?
Right.
Or a combination of the two. But that motivation for learning is what's going to make the difference.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think both you and I, as professional educators, it's incumbent upon us to constantly be learning. In my field in particular, educational technology, like changes daily. There's always something new to learn. And that's, you know, how do we take advantage of that? And that's, you know, one of the missions here at Tech Talk for Teachers is sharing all of that. And how do we do that? And we have some very powerful tools, you know, with technology. And one of the things here at the Instructional Technology Center, we do that in, you know, many different ways. People are always asking the question, what's the best way to teach? And the answer to that is there's not one. There are many.
No.
You have to always mix it up. So we have a variety. And, you know, I think teachers, again, whether you're in K-12 or in higher ed, we all have these tools that have become incredibly affordable, in many cases free. Something as simple as like YouTube videos and all the opportunities that those provide.
Sure.
So at the ITC, we have a YouTube channel, just a quick screencast. And it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, a channel. It can just be a quick sharing. And whether you're a Google Apps for Education school or if you're an Office 365 school, you have the capability of sharing videos either privately, you know, so your Google Drive or your Office 365 video. And I just did one today. Somebody asked me how to do something, and they happened to be in a different building on campus. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, I could go over there and sit next to you and show you.
Right.
But I just got out Office Mix and just did a quick screen recording, posted it on our Office 365 video, and emailed that link to the person. Problem solved.
There you go.
And then the benefit of that is they can pause, rewind, and, you know, if they have additional questions, you know, I can go back and hit the topics that I may have missed in the video. Other things, podcast. I mm-hmm. think that we as educators, we have, particularly with holiday breaks upcoming over the Christmas holidays, we have I always load up my MP3 player with podcasts when mm-hmm. I get a lot of windshield time. So that's always an opportunity, podcasts like Tech Talk for Teachers. But
that's right.
If you do a search out there, there's thousands of various podcasts, whatever your subject area, you know, sixth grade math podcast, type that into Google, and you'll probably more than likely find several sources.
Well, and it's whether it's something you're already doing that you want to see how someone else is doing it, or if it's something new and you just want to hear about it, be introduced mm-hmm. to it. Those are great ways that, you know, you can just kind of get a feel for some things.
Yeah, and the tools are constantly churning and mm-hmm. changing, and that's one of the challenges in my field. But if you kind of go back to the basics, what do we need to do as teachers? Having the ability to do an audio recording like this, mm-hmm. so much we can do with that.
Right.
So powerful. Or just doing a screencast, or, you know, with cell phones today, just turn on yep. your cell phone and do a video.
Boom.
You know, it's out there and it can be posted to a cast of thousands.
Right.
Literally in minutes.
Well, and one of the things, you know, with literacy and that in different content areas and all, you know, one of the things I talk about is we have not just lifetime learners, but we have a lifetime pursuit of literacies, because the literacies that we engage in change in each chapter of our life and each thing yeah. that we do. And so how we read, how we write, how we speak, how we listen, how we engage, what, you know, the vocabulary we use, the way we organize our thoughts, we each have all these different pieces of our lives that we adjust on the fly, you mm-hmm. know, with different people. And so we're just constantly evolving that. So I think, mm-hmm. you know, even people that don't think they're lifelong learners, they are. Every new hobby you pick up, every new thing that you experience, you know, and again, whether it's because you want to learn how to use a piece of equipment or do something or play a game with someone, or if it's because you have to, somebody's sick and you have to learn about mm-hmm. that, you know, condition. And that, so, you know, we're just constantly learning and figuring out. And so, same thing, if, you know, someone is ill, what do? We go to the internet and we mm-hmm. start looking for information mm-hmm. and that. And so it's interesting because the same techniques we use for the personal things that we're studying, we can use in our professional lives. But, you know, sometimes professionally we think, oh, I don't have time to watch videos, I'm too busy.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay.
But you're kind of getting into the topic of like meta learning or something at that point, how to learn and relearn and unlearn and all those things.
Yeah.
And that's extremely important. And I think us modeling that as teachers
right.
is so important for our students to see that. Yet that is typically hidden from the average student.
It is, because we wait, and then when we get on the stage, we, you know, it's bestow our wisdom upon them. It's like,
yeah, it's that polished PowerPoint,
yes.
and they never see all of the hidden
process.
Behind. Yeah. And I was talking to you earlier before we started the podcast. I was looking for some scholarly research, and there's this topic known as version one and version two thinking, or formal and informal thinking, where we're kind of skipping the messiness, that step of when we're gathering, curating, putting all of these things together into that final presentation product.
Right.
And typically, you know, it's a PowerPoint or it might be a video or some other media. But and again, I think that's why I'm such a fan of OneNote, because OneNote does not hide that process.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm able to demonstrate to students on the fly as we go, address those needs. We talk about that attention span
right.
and engagement. And it's like, okay, this is your notebook. Let's contribute together
right.
For it. I'm talking with my hands. I'm sorry. Sam's washing my hands
that's
away.
All right.
But, you know, it's our notebook, and we can make it what we want.
Right.
And that, to me, is so much more meaningful learning for the students, because a good teacher will adapt, you know, on the fly as those mm-hmm. teachable moments come up.
Right.
And that's what makes it interesting for the students.
Oh, the evolution of it. You know, that's why the old speeches by, you know, the old inaugural speeches by presidents with the drafts from the Library of Congress, and you can see what they crossed out and words that they chose over other words. Mm-hmm. And that's important, those processes. Mm-hmm. And that, and then even like when I teach, when I screw up, I tell them, I'm like, okay, that did not work like I thought it was going to. How can I fix this? Help mm-hmm. me out. Because when you're teaching a class of humans, things aren't always good. You know, if you're doing a video, then all you have to do is one time and let it go. Mm-hmm. But when you're actually interacting with other people, whether it's, you know, face-to-face or electronically, mm-hmm. and that when you're actually interacting with people, that there's...
Well, that's a different dynamic. You know, my specialty is instructional design, and we have processes, formal processes, right. And we try to address those needs, but it's learning is never a linear process. No. And the more individuals you have, the more broadly the prerequisite knowledge.
Yes.
And sometimes we, in instructional designers, we make assumptions about the learner. If we've done our homework, we're pretty close.
Right.
But there's always going to be, it's like, oh, I didn't even think about that.
Exactly.
And yeah, that's, but that's again, the fun of teaching and learning. So the other thing, speaking of kind of designing learning experiences, I've been playing around a little bit more, you know, like these curated YouTube playlists, or since we're an Office 365 school, embedding YouTube videos within OneNote in a sequence, mm-hmm. or within Sway. I really like Sway because that's mobile phone friendly. So, and in fact, you can embed a Sway into OneNote, so you can kind of structure that learning experience in, you know, with the scope and sequence that you want.
Right.
And then there's learner choice there in that it's like, oh, I already know how to do that.
Right.
And this is a boring video to me because I already know it. But even that, sometimes the student makes assumptions. It's like, oh, I already know that.
Right.
And they don't realize that, you know, 3 minutes into that 5 minute video, there's a brand new concept that they never even thought about. It's challenging.
It is. And, you know, sometimes I know I like to read it so I can interact with it, annotate and things like that. But I like to see the video, too. And I like to listen to someone say it. And, you know, the whole thing with academic language, the more times and the more different ways we can expose students to the vocabulary, the better. So if you've got a video and people are using those words, show the video. If you know, you can do that because, you know, it's that picture's worth a thousand words, but sometimes a speech is, or sometimes a piece of paper is. You just have to figure out what's going to work with different learners.
Well, it's that multimodal, you know, the multiple pathways. I've been doing some work with our faculty development office, and they've been doing the work around the book Make It Stick, you know, with the learning
mm-hmm.
theories.
Yeah.
And, you know, what you just mentioned, elaborative rehearsal, putting things into your own words, looking at it a little bit different way mm-hmm. in a different lens. You know, the repetition, and the, in particular, the spaced repetition.
Mm-hmm.
Since we're coming up on, getting close to finals, I can't believe it. It's getting here close. But, you know, millions of students across the nation are going to be out there, you know, in the traditional, let's cram for the final exam. And all the research shows that is not the best way to learn.
Nope.
It might be effective for, you know, that one-time test. And that's why students do that. But as far as truly learning and understanding, learning takes time. And it's got to be spaced. It's got to be hit in different angles.
Right. And it's that lower order to higher order thinking skills. If you just want them to...
Right. And the transference.
Right. I mean, if you just want them to be able to regurgitate it...
That's not our goal.
No.
Yeah. So, and again, that's what makes teaching and learning so much fun, you know, finding all those different methods and things. Other methods, you know, traditionally podcasts, and, you know, these have been around for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Blogs. I also like looking at others' e-portfolios and just kind of going out there and just seeing what others have done, you know, before me or before different students and things, because you can learn a lot by whatever they're showcasing out in the e-portfolio. And then just kind of the curation, you know, I typically have two main go-tos for curating resources, you know, as we're learning new topics.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned whatever you're learning something new. It's like all of a sudden your mind's attuned to that, and you start noticing things that, you know, that previously, you know, didn't pay any attention
making
to.
Making those connections.
So, of course, OneNote is kind of my go-to, but I also use Digo. It's kind of just a quick way to bookmark if I come across something interesting. Or, you know, now with social media and Facebook and Twitter, professional learning networks, you gain so much from fellow people that you follow. And if I don't, like, bookmark something in the heat of the moment whenever I see that. In fact, I just had that experience yesterday. I happened to be on Twitter, and I saw some visualization of geometry where they were showing how to calculate the area of a sphere. And they showed the visualization, and the visualization did not quite look right to me. And I think it was incorrect, but for the life of me, I can't remember.
Get it back.
I can't figure out where it was.
Well, and you know, something I've had to do, I've had to purge a little bit from my sources, because I started out with this quality wasn't as important as quantity. I wanted as many different, you know, following on Twitter and all these different things. And I had so many different ones that I was losing focus. Also, I was finding that a lot of them were repeating the same things. Mm-hmm. They were just retweeting other people that were I was already following. Mm-hmm. But I've really come down to just a handful that I feel like follow the same train of thought that I do and are giving me consistently good pieces of information. And I've really, you know, gotten rid of a lot of bookmarks and things like that. It's like, okay, I can go Google it if I ever can remember pieces of it. But I've gotten way more selective in who I'm following and what I'm doing. And I think that comes with knowing it better.
Well, yeah. And your comment a few minutes ago about your perceptions kind of change over time, so you're kind of adapting that. I need to do that as well. But with the caveat there, particularly in social networks, is, you know, make sure you follow a few contrarians out there to your view too, just to kind of push your envelope. And, you know, don't get in the bubble.
Right.
You know, because that's, for ed tech people, that's so easy to do. We take advantage of this technology and we kind of live and breathe it.
Right.
But it's like, oh, you want to do that and your K-12 classroom, you know, having broadband access at home is kind of an issue for many students. So we've got to be well-rounded in that regard. So as we head into the holidays, I encourage everyone to go out there and, you know, encourage that culture of learning within your organization. You know, talk to your fellow roommates and teachers across the hall and down the hall or across the world with social media. But like I said, I'm kind of filling up my MP3 player. Just go out there and do some search on some podcasts, and that's great for windshield time, or just I do a lot of work out in the shop, and I just like kind of having a radio type show on in the background. You might as well be learning something in the downtime. And YouTube videos, of course, you require your attention. So depending upon if you're wanting to learn something visual, you know, that's obviously the obvious choice there. And then don't forget about our old standby blogs and things, because now it's interesting. I was just doing some searches on some stats and things out for our Tech Talk for Teachers podcast and our blog as well. And I'm amazed at how many people go to that back catalog.
Really?
We're still getting thousands of hits on things that are 5, 6, 7 years old. And that's also a reason whenever I try making blog posts or I do this podcast, you always hear me put the date in.
Right.
Some people don't like to do that because they want their content to be evergreen. I think that, you know, the other thing with learning is recency. You know, what's kind of in the heat of the moment important, and particularly for students, what's valid in their lives at this time. So I always like putting a date in there just to kind of give that
frame of reference.
Exactly.
And also, if we talk about something or cite something and it's 3 years out and then people can't find it, you know, maybe that's why, and they need to.
Yeah.
Looking under a new name or a new
new
URL or something like
that. Or if you go through somebody, if you get into a podcast, I'm constantly doing this. I'll find a really good podcast and like I'll just start going through the back episodes. But with the realization that they may have said something 5 years ago that's no longer true, or there might be 10 times better way to do something now. So I kind of listen to them, you know, backwards, depending on how much time that I have.
Yeah.
But there's just tons and tons of valuable content out there. So as we head into the holiday break, I encourage you to go out there and learn something new.
Yeah. And maybe if you're one of those people that does a whole lot of talking, maybe do some listening or vice versa.
Yeah. Or make your own podcast over break.
There you go.
My technology pick of the week this week is a new app for my Android phone, and it's called Google Photo Scan. And this is an app that popped up in the last month. And one of the reasons that I like this particular app is I've got a lot of old, back in the day when we used to have to develop, you know, film and everything, yeah, and have the prints out. And this is another good holiday project that I need to get on. But I've got boxes and boxes full of printed out pictures,
right, like old
days, the way that we used to do it. And I need to go through there and selectively at least digitize a few of them, just so that I have them, you know, somewhere else. Kind of the old fashioned way of backing up, you know, that making multiple prints. But I need to get it in digital format. And this app is called Google Photo Scan. So I'm just going to give a quick demo here to Cindy, and I'll talk us through this. So I'm just going to log in and go to my apps and pick Photo Scan. And what this will do is it takes a picture, but it actually takes like four different pictures. One of the problems whenever you try taking a picture of a piece of paper, especially if it's a little bit glossy, you get those reflections.
Right.
So this app actually takes like four different pictures. And just line it up. And I don't know if you can see, but see how terrible the glare is on this?
I do.
So let me come up here and take the picture. And it will put four different dots on this picture. And it wants me to move my camera to those four different locations. And what that's doing is it's taking four other photographs. And it's kind of like the angle of reflection is a little bit different in each one of these. And then in the end, it will stitch these together and attempt to get rid of the glare on all of those.
Wow.
So that goes out there, and then it just saves to your photo roll. And very quick to do, very easy to do. But the big benefit for that is reducing the glare.
Sure.
And I do use Office Lens quite a bit with OneNote, but it doesn't have that capability of taking the multiple pictures and things yet. So that's my tech pick.
It's pretty cool.
Google Photo Scan. So I'll probably be scanning a few photos over the holidays too.
Hey, well, with my tech pick, I have something you can do with those scans.
Oh, all right.
All right. So the holidays are right around the corner and that. But I found there's a site called, and probably a lot of people have been to it, called Zazzle.com.
Okay.
Z-A-Z-Z-L-E. And you can make custom wrapping paper.
Oh, cool.
You can upload your own images and that, and they'll, you know, tile it or whatever and make wrapping paper out of it.
All right.
And it's like, okay, how cool is that? But also beyond the wrapping paper use, if you're doing something cool in the classroom, to have an image or something and to cover a bulletin board or cover a space in the classroom, you know, with something like that. But more just because it's cool with the wrapping paper that you can. But they have a whole section of just blank products, and you create your own.
I see they got calendars, you know, always a popular choice this time of year.
And
coffee mugs.
Coffee mugs. And you can do, like, they have canvases. You just put whatever you want on the canvas. So some of those posters we have in our classroom that are getting a little rough looking, or, you know, our words of wisdom that we have, put it on a canvas. Mm-hmm. Have it in a canvas in your classroom, you know, something like that. So there are just so many customized things that you can do that are just really personal and unique. And I think, you know, again, it's that fun part of technology.
T-shirts.
You do these fun T-shirts. There we go. You do these fun things and you know, hone your skills a little bit on those and tweak them, and you learn all these new ways. That's how I learned Photoshop, is just by personally playing with it.
Right. And, you know, we talk about learning and finding that interest. That's a spark. You know, even though it's a personal interest out there, that's what a learner often needs to go off on the runway and start flying. So
absolutely. So it could be that students will develop, you know, you'll have students create canvas posters for different novels. You know, if you're reading they're reading really cool novels.
And then that teachable moment, it's like, well, now we need to learn Photoshop. So here's your application.
You
and now it's suddenly a little bit more real for you.
That's right.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
That wraps it up for episode 195 of Tech Talk for Teachers. Show notes for this episode and archived episodes are available on the web at the EIU ITC website at eiu.edu/ITC. To leave a comment or suggestion, please send an email to techtalk@eiu.edu or leave a comment on our Tech Talk for Teachers blog. Until next time, I'm Tom Grissom.
And I'm Cindy Rich.
Keep on learning.